Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Cross as you wait for the crown.
tell the world of the treasure you found.
Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We are so grateful, Lord God, that you made the way our sins could be forgiven, the way we could inherit eternal life. Lord, that you died on that cross for our sins, having never sinned. You rose from the dead on the third day because death could not hold you. And Lord, you have made the way, Lord Jesus, to eternal life. You're just looking for people to repent, turn from sin, and follow you. Until they know they are born again. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We praise you, Lord God, that your spirit will bear witness with our spirit. You will let us know if we are born again, children of God. And what a great day to know your love, to know you're forgiven, to know you are in the family. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. You might turn me up a hair. You know, just several things on my mind this morning and getting ready for church and last night. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8 this morning. And this is going to be kind of a continuation of last week. I talked about doing the will of God, how important it was for you to find out, to know, to hear the voice of God, and to know the will of God for you. Again, I made it very clear, and I'm going to continue to make it clear because I have all kinds of detractors and, you know, Carl's out there. We love Carl. Carl, we love you. But we believe, unlike Carl, the Calvinist, we believe that God still speaks to his children, that if you are a son or daughter of God, you are led by the Holy Spirit. And that is just paramount. That is Christianity. You are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit into God's will for your life. And God's will for you will never contradict or violate the written word of God, ever, or God's moral standards. Never will. You know, I had a guy that keeps emailing me, and, you know, I'm really blown away. His life is in chaos, right? His wife has left him. He's been arrested numerous times. He has all kind of problems, domestic violence issues, all kind of stuff. And he keeps asking me what the problem is, and then he admits that, you know, he wants his wife back and he wants his marriage restored while he's in an adulterous affair with another woman. And I'm like, this is not rocket science here. This is not calculus. Repent of your sin. Get out of the adulterous affair. Put God first, and then maybe God might work a miracle and restore your marriage and your family. But leave the adulteress. Leave the adultery. This is not hard, folks. The first thing the Holy Spirit will lead you to do, he will lead you into holiness. And holiness is not committing adultery and fornication and drug use and getting drunk and just, you know, living crazy. That's it. That's how you, so you want to know the first thing, you know, you want to know, am I being led by the Holy Spirit? Am I being led into holiness and righteousness according to God's word? Some people ask me, that's like I've got to give them a prophetic word. No, I don't. Leave the adultery. Stop the sin. And then you can move where God can wash your sin away and where he can bless you, where you can hear him again. This is vitally important. Now, I want to read this. I love Romans 8. You have to have the right translation of the Bible, which is, to me in English, it's the King James Version. Because if it leaves out this verse, we're going to read from verse 1. If it leaves out part of this verse, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, then you got a wrong translation. You got the corrupted version, the Alexandrian text line. You don't want that. Well, let's read from verse 1 here. If y'all don't mind, we'll read a little bit this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Here's the condition for no condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now walk not there. Guess what that is? We're learning Greek verb tenses here. Present participle, which means ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. So that means you're not chasing the lust and the sins of this world. We talked about that last week from 1 John, right? Love not the world, either the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, right? 1 John chapter 2. So, same. Isn't it amazing that the Bible has a consistent theme, right? It does not contradict itself, no matter what the sinners say. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, meaning we could not keep the law because the flesh cannot do it, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. I love verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, comma, condition, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right? So if you want the righteousness of the law of God fulfilled in you, you have to choose to not walk or chase or run after the things of the flesh. You run after the things of the Holy Spirit of God. Pretty simple, right? Not calculus. Here we go. Then he says, for they that are after or chasing after or completely have their mind on it. He said, for the people who chase after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. The word do mind there means their mind is continually on the things of the flesh. Let me tell you something. Some guy that's sitting around watching pornography hours and hours and hours a day, his mind is on the things of the flesh. Somebody, I'll be honest with you, somebody that sits and plays these video games and watches these movies for hours and hours and hours and hours a day, every day, their mind is on the things of the flesh. They are not chasing after the Spirit of God. I know some people that their idol is a video game. If they spent that many hours chasing after God, studying God's word in prayer, learning to hear God's voice, they changed the world. Some people are going to go to hell for a video game. It's just the truth. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So I said, it's just what I just said. If you are following the Spirit, you're chasing the things of the Holy Spirit. That would mean the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Uh-oh. The gifts of the Holy Spirit to work in you. I said to covet the gifts. You know what the word covet means? Lust after, desire, strongly, earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. I would, as a Christian, I wouldn't be satisfied until I was talking in tongues and flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why, many years ago, that's what I did. I said, Lord, you said to covet these. You said to chase after these. You said to desire these. That's why I didn't even watch a TV show or a movie for the first 5 years after I rededicated my life to the Lord. And it had nothing to do with being legalistic. I just wanted to chase after the things of the Spirit of God. I didn't want to waste any of my time. Come on now. It kind of sounds like a Lutheran church in here this morning. I needed at least an Episcopalian nod or something out there. Just somebody quoted me the other day about the first church service was Pentecostal. And that's a fact, whether you like it or not. The church was born in talking in tongues and prophesying and souls getting saved. That was a Pentecostal service. People thought they were drunk. They didn't know what was going on. Come on now. That was the first church service ever. Pentecostal. We'll get to that in a minute. And he says this, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Now, he's talking about, when he says death here, it's not just the physical death. The second death in the lake of fire, where you're not annihilated, you live forever. But the death means you're separated from the one who is life. God is life. He's the spirit of life. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're just separated from him, that's what he's talking about here. So he says there, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Pretty simple, huh? Because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh, that live in the flesh, chase the things of the flesh, their mind's always on the things of the world and the lust of the world, the sins of the world, and that's what they enjoy, and that's what they meditate on, and that's what they chase after. He says, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So see, you either get out of the flesh, chasing after the things of the flesh and the lust of the flesh, or you don't. But you'll never please God until you do. And Pastor Dean, this doesn't sound like what I heard down the road at the big steeple churches. Exactly. Because they don't talk about this. They just quote a part of verse 1 there. There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're all wonderful. You're all wonderful. This is how they keep big churches. You're all wonderful. You're all wonderful and righteous, and you're all saved, and probably about half of them are and half aren't. But they say, you're all children of God. That's Joel Osteen's favorite thing to say. You're all children of God. No, you're not. Some of you are children of the devil until you are born again. And anybody that says to a big group of people, I saw him do it, 2008, Yankee Stadium in New York, tell that huge crowd, you're all children of God, and you're a New Ager, Joel. You're a universalist, because that's not the gospel. The gospel is some are saved and are children of God, and some are lost, and they're children of the devil. That's what Jesus said. He pointed to the Pharisees, and he said, you're children of the devil. Your father's the devil, and the lust of your father, that's what you do. Let me tell you, I know who your father is by what you do, how you act. Ouch. And listen, there's some Christians that are devils. He says, but you are not in the flesh. Now, he's speaking to the Christian, the born-again Christian that's walking in the Spirit. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What? Thought we were all children of God, Joel. No. If the Spirit of Jesus Christ is not in you, you are none of his. Romans 8, you could just preach that in every church in America for like weeks, and they would clear them out. He says in verse 11, though, I'm going to read verse 10 again. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, kill, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, this is the context of the verses I want to get to. So nobody tell me I'm taking this out of context this morning. He says, you want to know you're being led by the Spirit. Deal with the sin in your life and make sure you're not chasing after and living after the flesh and the things of the flesh, the sin, the wickedness of this world, this whole system out here. I mean, all you got to do is see some commercials. Now everything is homosexuality, transgenderism, lust, fornication, adultery. Everything that's evil is glorified and pushed and shoved upon even our children now, even in school. Public schools, I should say. But he says this. So for if you live after the flesh, verse 13, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, kill, put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This means sons or daughters of God. For you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So he's saying this is a relationship we're supposed to come into here. And then he says this, verse 16, the Spirit itself or himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you hear me? Folks, if you will repent, there's many people watching me out there. If you will truly repent and believe that Jesus loves you, died for your sins, rose from the dead on the third day, and that he wants you to repent and turn from sin. And that was his message. He said he didn't come to call the righteous. He said he came to call sinners to repentance. That's what Jesus said. Repentance means you change the way you think and how you act. You reform your whole life. You don't say Jesus is my Lord and stay on drugs. You don't say Jesus is my Lord and continue to chase after fornication and pornography. You don't say Jesus is my Lord and continue to go into adultery or whatever else. You don't do it. Or idolatry. A lot of people don't even understand idolatry is a sin unto death. It's a sin that will put you in hell forever. God will have no other things ahead of him in your life. He's still serious about that. But he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many of you want to take a guess what the Greek verb tense is, are led is in that verb? Exactly. Ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. For as many as are continually and ongoing and presently led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Isn't it interesting how this goes with what Jesus taught in John 8 when he said, if, he said to the Jews that believed on him, in fact, put that up for me, John 8, 31, 32, in that range, he said to the Jews that believed on him, the word believed is the word for saving faith. He said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you. If, right, Jordan? If. That's a big word. Calvinists ignore that word because it destroys their entire doctrine. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. What if you don't? The Word of God says don't commit adultery. Don't live in fornication. Don't be an idolater. But what if you choose as a Christian, nah, I'm going to go do that. If you don't, you are not his disciple. You will not know the truth. You will be deceived. This is how important this is. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And even that context, if we keep going, he's talking about sin. This is how important this is. Now, you say, be led by the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm going to emphasize this, because there's a verse that God gave me this morning that we have to cover. But first and foremost is, if you've been led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be led into holiness. Number one, how do we know we're in holiness? We know the Word of God. Are we living according to the written scriptures? Are we living according to that? That's the question you got to ask. Then the second thing is, if you are, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's going to come and bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. That means he's going to let you know. Folks, that's what being born again is all about. Being born again is when you have truly repented, made Jesus Lord of your life, you're truly in faith, you truly have decided to be a disciple, and then the Holy Spirit comes and bears witness, and you know that you know that you know in your knower that you're born again. Okay? But being born again, like so many churches out there now teach, that once you get born again, that's it. You're secure forever. Nowhere does the Bible teach that. There's a lot of ifs. I could spend another 2 hours just going through the ifs, the verses with the ifs in them. If you continue, if you follow, if you obey, if you're faithful to the end. Oh, we could go through those for days on end. But he says the Holy Spirit will bear witness. Well, that's the beginning. When you get born again, I know when I got born again, right down the road here, a little Northside Baptist Church, I was like 11, 12 years old, about faith age. Man, let me tell you, I didn't know a lot, but I understood the gospel that day, that Jesus died for my sins, that I was a sinner, that I was lost, that I was on my way to hell, that I deserved it, and that Jesus loved me enough to die on that cross for my sins, and that he was the way. And all that came as full revelation and understanding to a little punk sitting on the back row of that Baptist church passing notes with his friends. Because I was a little punk. And I'll never forget that day. Because God's conviction came on me. And I knew that I needed to go forward in that altar call and acknowledge Jesus as Lord of my life. And it's crazy. I was terrified of what my friends would think. And all my buddies in that church. And I kind of held on to the pew in front of me for a little while going, I just had this war going on. I remember I finally mustered the courage to say, no, I want Jesus more than I'm worried about what these other punks think. And man, when I stood up, did the Holy Spirit ever come upon me? I mean, I didn't know what it was back then. It was the cloud of glory was around me. I couldn't see. It was like I was in a fog. And the presence of God, the power of God, and the peace of God, and the love of God was so strong that all just tears running down my face. And I don't even know how I made it. I was in the back of the church. I don't know how I made it down the altar. I don't remember. I don't remember walking down the aisle. I must have floated. It's what it feels like right there. I mean, it's just like, whew, I was in the middle of a cloud. It was the presence of God. And I remember praying, but then it all came, you know, I prayed with the preacher and prayed the sinner's prayer. But see, I meant it. There's a lot of people pray the sinner's prayer. They just want fire insurance. They have no intention on really following Jesus. But no, I'm going to tell you what, it was powerful. And it was so powerful that I never forgot that day, even as I became a teenager and my parents divorced and our home life went to hell and I was all around all the wrong people at school and I didn't know what it meant to really walk with Jesus. Nobody ever taught me anything. I didn't know anything. And so I gradually just drifted away into drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality. Now, I know had I died in that, especially at 16, when I fully understood, because my dad finally took us back to church for a little bit. And I remember this preacher actually preached the word, and I said, mm-mm. And I remember when I said, mm-mm, and walked out of that church, I was 16 years old, but my life for the next 3 years just went, phew. Everything was difficult. Everything was just like everything against me. Well, during that time, I was at Troy State. I remember one of my fraternity brothers, my big brother in fraternity, tried to start. We were riding in the car one day drinking beer. I wasn't drunk yet, but we were drinking. And he started talking about, well, I just don't know if the Bible's true, and I don't know if I believe that stuff anymore. And we had this debate. It got hot. I mean, but because of what happened to me when I was young, I told him what happened, and he made some kind of remark. I said, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, we probably need to stop talking about this. I'm just going to drag you out of this car and beat your head in. I did. I told him, I will drag you out of this car and I will beat some sense into you. So we need to stop talking. He said, okay. As we're drinking beer, we're discussing religion. Yeah. But I realized, because the Holy Spirit had made himself, there was no talking me out of it. It was like trying to talk to a man that's already had a ribeye steak like I make them. That somebody trying to tell you, you don't want that anymore. I'm sorry, you're too late. I've had too many of them. They're too good. I mean, they're so good, my wife won't even order a steak at a restaurant because she says, just trash. Right? But don't try to tell me. You see what I'm saying? Even as a backslidden, lost teenager ready to fight somebody over a religious debate, I knew that I knew because the Holy Spirit had borne witness in my spirit. I knew Jesus was real. I also knew I wasn't living right. I knew I wasn't living right. I still didn't know how to fully do it. That's what's so wild. And then it was, I remember making the float in front of the fraternity house. I was in Sigma Chi at Troy State, at the time Troy University now. I remember we're out there because they made all the pledges, you know, do all the work. So we're cleaning the front yard, you know, because we're going to have all the alumni in. It's homecoming, and we're trying to build a float. And I remember the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I said, I don't know why I said this. I said, Lord, I know. It was like I knew, this is not your will for my life. All my plans to play football here, to start the career I want to start, and the modeling career and all that, and the movie stuff that was starting for me, it was like, I know this is not it. I was so miserable because I was drinking almost every day, and I was getting more and more depressed, and the more immorality I got involved in at college, the more depressed I got. And finally I said, Lord, I know this is not your plan for my life. I mean, I'm out there making the float, drinking beer, because that was every day, and said, Lord, this is not it. And I said, Lord, I know you have a plan for my life. I'd like to get on with it. And I didn't realize what I said, because, boy, did everything change. My parents all of a sudden, for no reason, stopped paying for my school, so I had to leave school. And then, I mean, I really actually knew I needed it. I said, I got to get away from these folks and try to get my life in order a little bit. And I wasn't even thinking about the Lord. I was just thinking about the movie career that was opening for me. I needed to not be an alcoholic and a drug addict so I could do, you know, become rich and famous. But I'll never forget when the Lord finally spoke to me, because that guy I started working for in Arkansas, I was just going to work for the summer and then go to Hollywood. And that guy started witnessing to me, that my boss at work just started preaching to me every day and giving me all kinds of stuff to listen to, Keith Green and David Wilkerson, some crazy evangelist talking about the satanic rock and roll music. The Holy Spirit convicted me so hard for about 3 weeks, because I was with him every day, and this boss of mine. But I'll never forget, one day finally, I was off on a Monday in Berryville, Arkansas, right down the road from Eureka Springs, and the Lord said, son, you can have everything the world has to offer and go to hell, or you can surrender your life to me and live forever. Surrender. You don't call the shots anymore. Even if it's something that's not sin, you don't get to choose anymore. Will I be Lord of your life? Will you let me be Lord of your life completely, totally, 100%? Surrender. Oh, that's why I love that song. He said, son, you can have everything the world has to offer and go to hell. So the Holy Spirit was preaching to me about hell. So don't, if you got a problem with me talking about hell, you best find a Joel Osteen type preacher. But the Holy Spirit said, you can, son, and he called me son. So, see, he acknowledged. I was born again. I'd been born again. But, like, if you want to chase after the world, you want to go down this Hollywood route and partying and drugs and sin, you want to go that way. But this is, and he showed me. I had a vision. I saw it in my mind. He clearly gave me what's called a closed vision. I saw a road forked. And one way, I saw Jesus hanging on the cross for my sins and light down that road. And I saw liquor bottles and drugs and things scattered down this road in darkness. And the Lord said, you pick now. You're at the fork in the road. You pick now which way you go. And I thought for a minute. I was like, and I finally said to him, I said, Lord, I choose you. I'm going to go with you, but I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it. I'm either going all the way or I'm not going at all. I told him, I said, I refuse to be a hypocrite. All the way, or nothing. And just a few weeks after that, I'm all by myself. I'm not in a church. I'm not in a Pentecostal church. Nobody's talking to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that is. I was reading my Bible. Ooh. And I got to that book that most churches like to avoid called the Book of Acts. And by the time I got through chapter 2, I said, oh, my Lord, what is this? And I said, Lord, if they needed this, I need this. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. And then the gifts of the Spirit began to work in me. What was wild is I remember walking up to my first convert was a Satanist who was being trained to be the high priestess of her coven. That's my first convert. And I remember walking up to her one time, and I saw this whole movie play out in my mind. I saw it. I saw where they had put a guy with a rifle to shoot me at a certain specific curve in the road going up to Eureka Springs. I told her exactly where it was. I said, there's a guy there with a rifle, because you have to slow down to almost 5 miles an hour to go around this switchback. And I said, I saw a light in front of him blind his eyes and knock him to the ground. And she looked at me. She goes, how could you know that? She told me the name of the guy that the coven of witches, the Satanists, sent him there to kill me on my way in back to Eureka Springs. I didn't even know then that was called the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge. But folks, that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what's called being led by the Holy Spirit. Let me read this again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember last week I gave you John 10:27? Y'all can put that up. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I know them, and I will give them eternal life. The ones who hear and keep hearing. The ones who follow and keep following. I'm going to tell you right now, I hate to say this way. And maybe in this room we got more than the average. But I can guarantee you I could walk into any normal church, average church, here in the Bible Belt. And I bet I could only find a handful of people that actually know Jesus enough, are full of the Holy Spirit, to actually hear his voice and are actually led by the Spirit. Because going to church doesn't mean you're led by the Holy Spirit. Singing in the choir, serving, oh, I'm so sick of all this stuff. You know what, servant, I want you to do? What the Lord tells you to do. How you going to know that? Hear it. So I don't talk about giving all the time, because I believe Christians ought to hear what they're supposed to do. Let God lead them. I don't need to harp on giving. And guess what? It works. If preachers would just learn that, shut up about money. Let God handle it. If you've got spirit-led people, they will do what they're supposed to do, what God tells them to do, and you shouldn't want them to do any more than God tells them to do. I kind of went down a rabbit trail there, didn't I? Now look at this. Go back with this. This is one of the verses the Lord wanted me to cover this morning. I preached on it. I've talked about it many, many times. Colossians. Go to Colossians. And the Lord wouldn't, this verse just kept, when I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to talk about today, Lord? What do you want to go into? And this was just, it continued, this verse. Colossians 3:15. It's one of my favorite verses. But before we read it, let's go back. I'm going to read a few verses in from verse 1 on down, just show you the context. Because it's the same context you get in Romans 8. And the context, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're born again, and you're walking with him, the Spirit of the risen Christ living in you. So it says, if, somebody say if with me. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Pretty clear there, right? The things of the Spirit, the things from heaven, the things of God's throne. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, put to death, kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them, but now also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you do. And above all these things, put on charity, love, true love, the God kind of love, which is the bond of perfectness or maturity. And verse 15. So the context, what is the context? Deal with sin. Get the sin out. Don't walk according to it. Don't walk according to the way you used to walk before you were saved. I mean, he's being crystal clear here. And then he says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I'll read the rest in a minute. I want to deal with this verse. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Now, what is that talking about? It's the word umpire there, the word rule. Anybody love baseball? I used to play baseball. I like baseball. Hate to watch it, love to play it. But the umpire calls the situation safe or out. I have to tell you, and I'm going to tell, and I've said this many times over many years, the Holy Spirit in many situations is not going to give you words, prophecies, visions. He's just going to give you a witness in your spirit of peace if something is okay, if something is his direction, if a person is safe or okay to be around, or he's going to give you a heaviness or what I call a check, a warning in your spirit. And you feel it. It's something you feel in your spirit. And let me just tell you, every single time I have felt the warning and gone against it, I have suffered the consequences. Other pastors used to call this the red light, green light. This is kind of like, you know, when parents just go, you know, and Faith's finally, you know, bugging me to death about doing something, and I just go, I give her the yes or the no. Like if I can't talk, she just gets the look. And she knows, that's cool, I can go do it, or not cool, better not do it. But see, that's the way it should be with us. God shouldn't have to talk to us, have an angel stop us in the way with a sword drawn, trip us and make us fall down. We should be able to be led by the Holy Spirit in such a way we feel the witness of his peace or the absence of it. That's why when I get around people, I either get peace or I get a check. Now, when I get a check, I don't know what the check's about unless the Lord shows me. But I know to pay attention. I know to pray and ask. I know to be cautious with that person. I don't put them in charge of the children. You get what I'm saying? I've seen churches just take anybody and put them in charge of the prison. That could be a witch, a Satanist, a New Age. They love to work in the children's ministry. That's why I would never put her. We go to churches. She's sitting beside us. I would never put her in the children's ministry. Do I know who's in there? No. The bigger the church, the more dangerous. Saying, well, you're paranoid. No. My job is to keep her safe. So I never dump my kids in church nurseries and children's church. Where is that in the Bible anyway? You know, the best thing that we have seen in this church over the 12 years is that the children sit in here and they learn to respect the pastor. They learn to respect the church service. They learn how to be quiet. Parents learn how to either get control of their children or step out. But they grow up hearing the truth. They're not talked down to. They're not dumbed down. And we've seen children, you know, we've been in doing this long enough. We have children that came in at 8 years old that are now in college. They know the truth. They absolutely know the truth about everything. So a lot of stuff we do is not even in the Bible. We just added it on. Oh, youth group. Youth group. That's a hookup place. That's where you make drug deals and hook up with your girlfriend. That's what youth group is. Now, every now and then, you'll have a good one, but I'm going to tell you right now, having a 20-year-old try to be the leader over 18 and 16 and 15-year-olds, that usually ends up in disaster. You're putting a novice, it's just ridiculous. And youth groups get the attitude, well, we don't have to go to big church. We don't have to listen to them. They're the old fogies in there, right? No. See, that if I had a youth group and I even got wind of that, it's over. Y'all are done. All of you come sit right here. Youth group is finished. But again, why do we? Some churches, their youth ministry is a disaster, but they just keep it going because it's tradition. Tradition. Children's ministry, tradition. It's tradition. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. How many of you ever walked into a church? You're trying to find a church and you walk in and it's just like darkness settles in on you. A heavy feeling right here. Let me tell you, the moment you feel that, run. You don't have to know why. You don't have to know all the reasons, what's going on there. Run away. You start dating somebody, because the flesh wants to date somebody, you're desperate, you want to find a husband or a wife. There's a lot of single people get desperate, and instead of listening to the Holy Spirit and waiting on the Holy Spirit to give peace, they run out. But folks, let me tell you, if you start dating somebody and all you keep getting is this heaviness in your chest and this feeling of darkness and gloom and doom, run. You understand? Run. You don't have to know why. It could be Ted Bundy. You don't need to know. Run away. There's situations that are going to rise in the future where you're going to have to be careful who you associate with, who you allow to be friends, who you let come to your house. Oh, yeah, it is. But there's going to be people in the future. Remember, it says that Jesus said that there would be people who would betray one another. When it's FEMA camp time, there's going to be people turning in other people. So, you know, unless you want to head up to Anniston for your free room and board. Anniston, what's in Anniston? The Department of Homeland Security FEMA Preparedness Center. That looks just like a prison, looks like they're building one nearby. I just toured the whole place over there. Yeah, it's right up the road in Alabama, believe it or not. If I become governor and they go rogue, we just move them out. What's interesting is the Alabama National Guard headquarters is right next to it. So hopefully they'll be on our side. It's getting here. They're trying to get all, even now, they're trying to get all the Christians and conservatives and everything out of the military with this vaccine push. But it's getting interesting out there. But, folks, this right here is so important. Let me show you something else. Go to Malachi 3, and not because that's the tithing chapter. That's what most pastors only use that for they're going to preach on tithing. I actually believe if you teach on tithing from this, you're actually cutting yourself short. New Testament giving is whatever the Holy Spirit says, and sometimes he tells people, give it all. Go sell some land, give it all. If you got two mites, give that. I love New Testament giving. It's just whatever the Lord says. The Lord's told me to give away my car that was paid for. He's told me to empty my bank account and give it to a certain. So that's New Testament giving. I don't have to go and preach tithing. Oh, help us, Jesus. Go to verse. Go to verse 15, Malachi 3:15. Oh, we just had two 3:15s there, see? Colossians 3:15 is a good way to remember it. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Listen to this. And now we call the proud happy, and yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Boy, isn't that the time we live in? And yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then, verse 16, this is where we are. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. He said, and they shall be mine. Now, before I go any further right now, he's talking about these are people who they talk about the Lord all the time because that's what is on their mind. That's what they love. They love God. They love the things of God, and they love talking about the things of God with other believers. And God says, for those kind of people that just love me and talk about me and want to talk about me all the time and talk about the things of the Spirit and the things of the Word of God, he said, there's a book of remembrance being written. You're being put in there. Gary likes to talk about me. He don't care nothing about talking about anything else. And there's this book of remembrance being written. Now, there's another book being written, too. You don't want to be in that one. And he says that these kind of people, these kind of believers, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them. Somebody that make up the jewels. What? The fire. The end time. When I'm finishing up. When I'm getting my jewels and I'm dealing with the wicked. He says, I will spare them. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Look at verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You see, the people that it's discernment is knowing things, feeling things from the Spirit of God in your spirit. You can't even always put words to it. You just know that person serves God. That person does not. You'll know, too, beware. I've been around some famous Christians, and everybody almost worships them. And I've been around them, and, I remember talking on the phone to one of them, and my spirit got so grieved, so heavy. There was such a warning. And over the next few weeks, showed me, he was not serving the Lord, but rather he was into Satanism. There was a pastor here in town years ago that I confronted that had all kind of people fooled that he was a Pentecostal pastor. But he was a devil. And he had it hidden from everybody else. But I remember I kept getting grieved around him, so I started praying. Well, then guess what happened? The Lord gave me a vision about him. And then the Lord gave me a word and told me to go tell him he was a prophet of Baal and that his church would come to an end. It would all be brought down. So I stood up on a Wednesday night in church and said, "You're a prophet of Baal, and your church will be no more." And guess what? The church ended and is gone to this day. I run into him from time to time. He's still in town. He trembles when he gets around me. That's the way it should be. They should tremble because the presence of God is on us. But we need to know, we need to be able to discern between the righteous and the wicked. And some of the wicked, they have a very expensive sheep suit on. But they're really the big bad wolf. And us Christians, most of us, for the most part, we try to love people and accept people. And because we're so accepting of people and we don't want to have confrontation and we don't want to have issues, we tend to just let anybody in. Was it that movie, Robert De Niro, talking about the circle of trust? We let too many people in the circle of trust before we know they should be in the circle of trust. But how do you know when so many can act like Christians? They can act like it, talk like it. They talk Christianese very well. How do you know? The only way you know is by listening to the Holy Spirit and letting Him show you. And sometimes the only thing He's going to give you is just a little heavy. It just feels like a little heaviness on you, in your chest. And you go, And He's letting you know maybe you need to fast and pray. And I love it when people think, well, we've had people over the years come to church and think they have me fooled because I don't say anything to them and I treat them like everybody else when I know what's going on. Sometimes I've seen the movie play in front of me. Or I've had a dream, and the Lord's confirmed to me that dream is about them. And I know. But you know what? Sometimes I'll let them still hang out. I won't say anything. Because you know what the Lord said? He even wants us to pray and bless our enemies. And some of those enemies are going to be converted. One of the reasons that young lady that was a Satanist got saved, she said, "We've been watching you." Now, here I am, 19 years old. I've just come back to the Lord. I've just started reading my Bible again. I don't know too much. She said, "We've been watching you." I'm like, what are you talking about? We've been watching you. Yeah. No, she said, "I am in a very large satanic coven." She said, "And we've been watching you. Astral projecting and everything, watching me." And she said, "We know you're a real Christian." That's her word. She said, "We know you're a real Christian." Let me ask you something. If they're watching you secretly, would they know you're a Christian? Ouch. Got that Episcopalian quietness in here. But she said, "We know." She said, "And we've tried to kill you several times. And we can't." She said, "So obviously, the power you have is greater than the power I have." That's what she said. And she said, "I've wanted out of this for a long time. But I saw them kill people that tried to get out." And all I told her, I said, "Well, the same Jesus that protects me can protect you. But you can't fool around. You got to go all the way with Him." And yeah, they tried to kill me many more times. I have witnesses, don't I, Sal? Of Satanists getting out of cars in church parking lots with masks and guns coming at me. I don't know what they saw that day, that night, because they looked like something scared them half to death. They nearly peed their pants. They ran back to their car, threw the guns in the trunk, and took off as fast as they could. But this kind of stuff is real. And these people, think about it. Stuff I'm talking about, that the 34 years ago, some of it was 20 years ago. But there's more of these Satanists, more of these infiltrators, more of these imposters. And they always, let me just say that the ones that are really high up on the totem pole of Satanism and witchcraft always go to church. Every Sunday. I know one that went through the Highland School of Ministry. He's got all kind of people fooled. Anybody can go through a ministry school. Yep. Some of them are counseling people. Pastor's office. A lot of the women in those groups are sent out to make Christian men and Christian pastors fall into sin with them. Had that happen too. One came to a Bible study of mine that I had every Friday night. We'd have 30 or 40 people there every Friday night. And she came, and she was always kind of doing inappropriate things. I'm like, and again, I was like, and she wanted to help with the children. I was like, nah, not happening, sorry. She left her notebook at my house, Bible study one night, and it fell on the floor, and it opened right to the calendar where she had written down that she was sent to make me fall into sin with her within 2 year period. She was a witch. And I felt she was in witchcraft anyway. I had my spirit. You'll get to the point where you discern the spirits, where you can feel the spirit of witchcraft or lying spirit or, you know, lust spirit on somebody. You'll start being able to feel those things. And I remember when I confronted her. Oh, she tried to lie her way out of it. You know, she even started, the crocodile tears started coming down her face. And I told her, I said, just dry it up, sister, because your fake crying is not changing my mind. You see this? You're out of here. That's why I've had to tell some infiltrating witches and agents, go, you're gone, you're out of here. I will not hesitate. Some people think, Pastor Dean's so mean. Trust me, if I tell somebody that they can't come to church here, there's a reason. You can trust me, there's always a reason. But discerning the Spirit, listening to the Spirit. And I'm going to quit because this is enough. Because the only way for you to learn this is to do it. Is to get close enough to the Lord where your spirit begins to be sensitive to what's going on around you, to the people that's going on around you, and the situations. I remember I was getting ready to go to Africa for the second time. In 2006. And there was a lot of chaos going on in my life at the time. And I had a check about going. But everything was in motion, so I went anyway. That's the one I almost didn't make it back from. That's the one when I got marched out into the darkness with the soldiers. I was not in God's timing on that trip, I can tell you right now. But now he had mercy on me. All right, that's the good news. We can mess it up. Going to pay some consequences sometime. But he can deliver us from our own stupidity or stubbornness or just lack of paying attention. For a lot of us, it's just we get too busy. We don't sit with the Lord long enough and be quiet long enough or pray long enough or fast long enough until you've strengthened your spirit where your spirit can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're so busy now. And believe, I'm fighting this now. I'm busier than I've ever been in my life. But we've got to be after the things of the Spirit of God. We've got to be sons and daughters that are led by the Spirit of God. And then the other gifts of the Holy Spirit can open up in your life. Because you'll begin to recognize it. Because sometimes God is so quiet and subtle. He's just like that sometimes. The still small voice that Elijah talked about. It's still sometimes and very small, very quiet. He doesn't want to have to shout. In fact, Psalm 32 says he wants to guide you with his eye. You know what that means? Just a look. That means you're so in tune with somebody, you're so close to somebody, you're so one that they can just have a certain look and you know what they're saying. I've noticed this as I've gotten older in the Lord and I've grown in the Lord, that a lot of times he doesn't talk. It's just I know. He'll just like make me know this is right, this is wrong, this is what's going to happen. And it's not some dramatic thing. Usually if he has to do something dramatic, it means I'm not paying attention. Right? I mean, that's why our children should know our look. They should know if we point, they should know. If we got to yell or we got to raise our voice all the time, we've done something wrong. Because they should know. And then they know if we raise our voice or get angry, they know. You know, I'll tell this little story about Bethany. Bethany and Faith are, you know, more obedient. Let's put it that way. But, you know, when you know, I disciplined the girls when they were growing up, my big ones, you know, we did spanking, we did grounding, we did, you know, when they were little, they had to stand in the corner, too. I remember Caitlin standing in the corner one time cussing me out in baby talk. She was that, blah, blah, blah. She was cussing me out in baby talk. Daddy. I was like, you're going to stay in that corner all day. Keep talking. But they knew my tones. And they knew that most of the time, and like I tell people about exercising your authority as a dad in the home, you do it as little as possible. You don't want to be a tyrant. You're not there to be a tyrant. You're there to love, teach, try to encourage. And so, you know, they knew, though, if my voice got up to a different level or I said something in a certain way. So this was like Bethany was probably about, she maybe 15, 14, 15, 16. So she was, you know, she was already grown, and she was at her mom's house. And I was in Montgomery, so I was going to go over to see her just as a surprise. But I called her on the phone to make sure she was there. So we're talking on the phone the whole way I'm driving over there. But I'm not telling her I'm coming. I'm just talking to her on the phone like normal. So I'm talking on the phone, and she tells me she's in the garage working, cleaning up the garage or something. So I said, all right. So I walk sneak up to the garage window, look in. Sure enough, she's in the garage. And we're still on the phone talking. And so I see her walk from this side of the garage, and she's walking to go in the steps to go up the house. And I said, Bethany, stop. She froze right there. She didn't move. And then she said, I realized you must can see me. And she turned around, and she found me looking at her. But I'll never forget that because I wasn't even there. But she stopped. Now, I've told my kids, you need to be that sensitive to my voice, because you know what? She could have been about to step on a snake. How important it is for your children to obey right then. Well, how important is us for obey the Lord like that? He could tell us, go to the store. And you're going to the store, but the moment he says stop, you better stop. He wants us hearing and discerning. And folks, I know I said it last week, but it's all about how much you pursue and press into him. It's going to be how much you're going to be able to do this. And again, you got to be willing to put down the sin and the weights. Because sometimes it may not be sin, but it's just a weight you don't need. Put down the sin and the weight and pursue him. And you're going to know. And some of the things, it's going to be tough because the Lord's going to reveal to you things about people and you're going to be going, wow, Lord, I don't think I wanted to know that. But you need to know. If he tells you, it's because you need to know. So let's stand. I want to do Surrender All again. It's only 4 minutes long, I think. But this song is this message today. Right here. Say this with me. The sons of God, the daughters of God, are led by the Spirit of God. Lord, let me be led by your Holy Spirit. Give me your discernment that I may know those who are serving you, those who are not. Amen. Let's do this song.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dream. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as love for the sake of knowing.
And I Lord, today, God, we surrender to you. You are Lord, and we will do what you say. God, as sons and daughters, we will be led by your Spirit and not by the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the world. That's not what we want. We want you, Lord. We want to be an example. We want to be a witness, Lord, to the people around us, to the world around us. And yes, Lord, I know we're not any of us perfect, but you don't want us chasing after and living after the things of the flesh. And we thank you there's forgiveness. We thank you for the cleansing, holy, spotless, sinless blood of Jesus that washes our sins away when we confess our sins. And we ask for that forgiveness, Lord. We are grateful. And I pray many more that haven't done that, Lord, will do that, will seek you, believe until they know that they are born again by your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe somebody's getting saved out there today. You know? Believe it or not, there's a lot of church people, or we call them the churched, that don't even know what it means to be born again. It's not even taught anymore. It's not defined anymore. It's not, you know, they just think going to church and trying to be good or trying to, you know, serve or whatever, they think that's it. And, you know, remember that the tree that Adam and Eve were told not to eat of, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's a good that's not God. You understand? There's a lot of people out there run, you know, the Shriners. They help a lot of people. But they're worshiping Allah in that temple. So they're doing some good, but their whole belief system and all their little rituals and everything else is not of God, period. So I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, Shriner, but, you know, thank you for helping the handicapped and children and all, but that's not getting you anywhere until you get right with God, until you come to Jesus and come out of the temple, you know. That's somebody. But listen, we need to do this real quick, and I'm only going to do this just because I've been asked, but there's people out there say, well, you don't ever update us on the campaign, so I'm going to update you real quick and just tell you this before we dismiss. Things are going real good. We just opened on Friday. We opened our new campaign office, distribution center for all the stuff there in Gardendale, just north of Birmingham. We had counting our group, we had 70-plus volunteers show up. The mayor of Gardendale and the Chamber of Commerce came. We did the ribbon cutting. That was cool. But we're getting our volunteers. We have about 200 volunteers, which is shocking people in the political world that we have 200 volunteers all over the state that are helping us get the signs out and the bumper stickers and the brochures. I'm about to order another 20,000 of those. Tomorrow, I go to speak at a political forum. They're inviting all candidates across the state to come speak. Right now, I think I'm only the only gubernatorial candidate that's actually going to show up, but we'll see. But that's in Double Springs up in the Northwest County, so please pray for me there. I know I'm speaking, but everybody gets a few minutes to speak, any candidates that show up. So that's happening. Then I'm speaking for about 10 minutes to the to Alpha, to their board or whatever in Montgomery. Let them know what I believe, what I'm about. So I'm doing that on the 28th, which is Tuesday. And what else is this week? And there's something else, right? The Secretary of State's having a panel and forum to investigate voter fraud. We're going to see what they're going to do, but it's open to the public, so we're going to go to that on the 30th. Voter Fraud Reform Task Force, even though he keeps declaring that there were no problems here, yet there were problems, and there were problems here in 2020, there were problems here in 2018 that have not been addressed, so I'm going to be there. Anyway, so we're going to go to that, and then is there anything Friday, the weekend? Oh, yes. Just so you know, appreciate everyone who's contributed to our campaign for governor of Alabama. But Alabama has a stupid rule that when the legislature is in session, there has to be a complete contribution blackout, meaning you can't give online, you can't write a check, you can't do anything. I can't even talk about money after today. Okay, so anyway, so just don't send us anything, because if we get sent anything, we have to send it back within 10 days or we get in trouble. Today's still good. I think it's midnight tomorrow or midnight tonight. So, yeah, up to midnight tonight. As you'll see, by midnight tonight, we will shut down the online giving site. We will be changing things on the website. So, yeah. So, the legislature, this session, this special session, could last as long as 30 days, no more than that. It may be shorter if they get done what they're supposed to get done. But do they ever get done what they need to get done? So, we'll see. Anyway, but that's what's going on. Just to let you guys know, I'm going to tell you, the people, the grassroots, they're with us. The grassroots folks, the everyday Alabamian across the state, they are with us. We have a tremendous amount of support from them already. So just keep praying. If you say, Pastor Dean, you think it's going well, I do. I really do. I'm not even concerned. There's rumors of this one and that one getting in the race. I'm like, jump on in. The water's fine. We'll deal with each of you as you come along. You know, but I think obeying the Lord, too, and starting early like I did, I've kind of set the bar at a certain thing. So I'm going to call them Johnny or Julie's come lately if they try to take up some of my positions, because they found out the people, what the people want. So I'm looking forward to, hope soon, there's going to be some debates. Yeah, I can't wait for that. We'll see if they're ready with their facts. Yes. Yeah, come on. Absolutely, I received that. Amen. I received that. You know, and two, I'm going to remind you guys, you know, when Gene May was here, true prophet, and he's always been right in my life over since 1989 when I first met him. But one of the things, remember he said to Nancy and I when he prophesied over us before he left, that, and specifically I think to me, he said that the doors would be open. And he said, doors that have been shut to you will be open. And I've seen that. And I believe there's some more doors, some bigger doors, and favor. I mean, bottom line, look, all we need is favor. Was Trump the perfect candidate in 2016? No. Did he have a lot of baggage? Those tapes that came out, oh, gosh, right? All that stuff happened. But God had a plan. God wanted him to be president, regardless of his flaws, regardless of all his issues, his personality, whatever. So, you know, his personality didn't bother me. Some people it bothered. His tweets didn't bother me, but it bothered some people. But God wanted him. I knew in January 2016, before the primary started, the Lord told me that it was his will for Trump to be president of the United States. That was what he wanted. And there was an anointing on him, and there was a favor that came on him across the country. Now, some people have gone crazy. They, you know, they are Trump worshipers above everything else. But let me just help you understand where that's coming from. There is a desperation in a lot of people. They don't even know, some of them don't know the scriptures. They don't know Bible prophecy. They don't know what's going on. But deep within them, there's like, we're headed in a very bad direction, and we need somebody, anybody, that will try to stop this or slow it down or try to protect us, protect our freedom. So right now, people will just about take anybody if they feel in their gut that they want to protect them and protect their freedoms and protect their family. So you got to understand, that's the movement behind Trump. It's not so much him as it is this deep down desire that we need some leaders that can actually get in office and win and help stop or at least be a shield or a buffer against the tyranny that we're facing. It's really the spirit of Antichrist we're facing. And so we're seeing that some of the same thing. There was a volunteer that I hadn't met yet that was there, and she just broke down in tears saying thank you for running, thank you for standing up for us. And I'm just realizing how hungry people are to have somebody to defend them, to protect them, to fight for them. And that's why I believe we're going to win. Because I'm a fighter, and I've always been a fighter. And I'm not scared of any of them. Not a single one. What's that? It's those pinback ears, man. All right. Well, I've made y'all stand long enough. You guys know the rule around here. Hug some necks before you leave. We love y'all out there, our extended church family. We love each and every one of you. Keep praying for us. We need prayers. But pray that God opens doors that no man can shut. Amen. All right. God bless.